May Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1008. Come, Holy Spirit, calm my mind and fit me to approach my God. Remove each vain, each worldly thought and lead me to thy blessed abode. Hymn 1008.
Let us turn in the Word of God to the book of Joshua, chapters 3 and 4. Joshua, chapters 3 and 4. And Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there. Before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all of the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence, out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there until this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war, passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took up out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Most holy gracious, kind Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, help us to worship Thee in Thy house here this day. May we know that the God of Jordan still lives, reigns, and is able today to appear for us as Thou didst for Israel all those years ago. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercies, which bring us into this house of prayer again, for bringing us each safely through another week of time. To a new week, with its events yet unknown to us, but known unto Thee. We thank Thee for all Thy providential care and kindnesses to us each, all the benefits which we enjoy of this life here below. We thank Thee more for all that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is and has done for His people. For that love of God in Christ, which overflows. For that covenant of grace and mercy. For that way of salvation, that fountain opened, and that righteousness completed for all poor sinners. For Thy word and gospel, for the throne of grace always open. We ask Thy presence here this day. Open the treasures of Thy word unto us. Open our hearts and our eyes to see them as treasures, as being very precious and valuable. Bless unto us Thy word and gospel, that we may be found among those who hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon and forgive our every sin. Lead us to that fountain alone for sin. Leave us not to try and gain salvation any other way than through that way which Thou hast appointed for sinners. Bless, Lord, Thy church this day as it meets for worship in the countless congregations in our land and in other lands also throughout the world. Bless Thy word as it is opened and read. Hear and answer the prayers which are put up unto Thee, the God of heaven. Bless the preaching of Thy word this day. Help Thy servants to exalt a precious Christ. And help those who hear Thy word. May, Lord, there be profit and life. May, Lord, there be lambs born today into Thy flock. And Lord, may there be that growth to spiritual maturity of those who are already lambs. May there be that following on to know the Lord. May there be that continuing in that learning of the Scriptures. And may there be food, Lord, for the sheep, those who have long been called by grace. May they receive their portion this day. And grant unto us, Lord, that help, that even the children may understand something from what is said today. And do bless the labours of the Sabbath school here this afternoon. And week by week, the seed sown there. Lord, may it not all be sown in vain. May, Lord, in time to come it be seen and testimony given that thou didst begin the work in the Sunday school. And that thou didst feed their young souls with those handfuls of purpose. Bless, Lord, this people. Remember each of them in their various needs and cares. Be with them, Lord, and supply those needs and cares. May thy presence be known in each journey through this life here below. Help them, bless them, support them, guide them, be with them. Bless the ministry of thy word here, week by week, service by service. Help thy servants as they preach thy word here. Grant, Lord, there may be the evidence that thou art here in this pulpit with them, by the power which attends the preaching of thy word. Grant, Lord, that help to hear thy word as it is preached, and not to forget what is heard, not to leave it behind in this chapel, but that thy word may abide in their hearts, that it may influence and guide in life, that it may be food and water to their souls, that it may be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Be with any, Lord, who need thee in any special way. Help them and grant them to know that the God of Israel still reigns, still has power over the waters, can still command peace, be still. Bless this church and help them in their church meetings. Give them the mind of Christ. Give them that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Give them that humility and grace and love for each other. May, Lord, there be that growth in fruit in this church. May, Lord, there be that growth in numbers in this church. May, Lord, there be growth in the congregation too, building up and increase. Hear and answer the prayers of the prayer meeting this morning for our nation. And turn this nation again, we pray. Open the eyes of our rulers. Call them by grace, we pray. And influence them by thy grace. Overturn the designs of Satan even this week. Lord, in our parliament there is those designs to limit what we can preach. We pray, Lord, that Satan may be frustrated and defeated. But Lord, if not, grant thy people the courage to stand firm, whatever may be the cost. But we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst hear and answer prayer for this land. which has long gone up to thee for the return of thy Spirit, for the calling by grace of those in authority, and also our fellow men and women who know thee not and are strangers to thee. For that call by grace in our churches of those who do not know thee. For that revival and for that growth in grace for those who do know thee. Lord, appear, we pray. Remember thy servant Robert Field in hospital. We thank thee for bringing him through a major operation this week. We pray for him and his wife at this time. Do grant that continued strengthening for him and that restoration to the pulpit and to his pastorate, if it be thy holy will. And remember his people today and at this time of anxiety. And Lord, remember any of thy people today who need thee. Those in illness, in affliction, those in bereavement, those in trouble, in sorrow, in perplexity, those with long-standing troubles, those who need guidance and direction. Lord, remember for good in mercy thy flock this day. Do speak unto us now as we come to thy word of truth. Bless it to us, we ask, in the precious and all-prevailing name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's now sing hymn 861, poor sinner, come, cast off thy fear, and raise thy drooping head, come sing with all poor sinners here, Jesus, who once was dead. Hymn 861.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to ask you to turn to the book of Joshua, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse. Joshua chapter 3, verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And if we come rightly into the house of God today, or any other day, this will be the main motive: to worship God, but also to hear the words which he will speak unto us. This is a fruit of a soul who is spiritually healthy, one who desires that the Lord your God would speak unto you personally his thoughts. There's something wrong, friends, if this is never our desire. This is never the reason we come. We're either dead, or we are in a spiritually unhealthy condition. Either way, we need the hand of God upon us. But in order to hear the words which God may speak, first of all, we need to be given life. There would be no point, would there, in me preaching this sermon in the churchyard, because no matter how loudly I might speak, none of them would hear a single word I said. Why? Because they're dead. They don't know. They wouldn't know I was there. They wouldn't be aware I was there. They wouldn't see me. They wouldn't hear. It would be a complete waste of time. And the reason some of you have never heard the word of the Lord speaking to you is because you are dead spiritually. You have come to the house of God. Some of you perhaps now for the greater part of your life, and yet you've never yet heard the word of the Lord savingly. Why? Because you are dead spiritually. You are alive naturally, but you are yet dead. You do not have spiritual life. Will you spend all your life in that condition? Solemn thing if you do. To spend a whole life sitting under the sound of the gospel, and yet never to hear the word of the Lord our God savingly. Friends, we will be without excuse in the day of judgment. And God will deal with us more severely than he will with those who never came to the house of God. because we will have even less excuse. So the first thing we need is life. And if you don't feel to have life this morning, then ask God to give you life. If he doesn't give you life here spiritually, he'll never give you life eternal in heaven. They follow each other. There must be spiritual life down here first. If you are to enter into eternal life there in heaven. So that's the first point. Pray for life spiritually in your souls. And if you have known it, thank God for it and ask him to maintain it. Because we are as much dependent upon to maintain spiritual life and spiritual health as we are for him to give it to us in the first place. The second thing we need is to be able to hear. And hearing, naturally speaking, is a great gift from God and something we should be thankful for. Spiritual hearing is an even greater gift from God. And that is something that we need as well in order to hear the words of the Lord our God. Now, is that the condition with some of you this morning? You have life. You have in time past heard with blessing and with profit the words of the Lord your God here in this place. But you've grown spiritually deaf and you have ceased to hear. Don't sit back in fatalism and say, well, it's God's sovereignty. Ask God to give you spiritual hearing. Because if you are not feeding, your soul will grow barren. Your soul will grow weak and feeble in the faith. And then you'll be vulnerable to Satan's temptations and attack. So that's the second thing. First, ask for life. Then ask to be given spiritual hearing. And for that to be maintained, then ask the Lord to speak to you. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now, first of all, it says here, come hither, or come near. It is a blessed thing if God ever says to you, come. If he does, he will never ever say to you, depart from me in the day of death. Or in the day of judgment. He only says come to his people. Come. Come into my presence. Come hither. Or come near. And again, if we are spiritually healthy, will this not be our desire? To be drawn near the Lord? That we might know and enjoy his presence, his company? that we may hear his voice, that we may see his face smiling. Come hither. There's a hymn in our book on this theme. 1028, I believe it is. Let's turn to it just for a moment, because there's encouragement here, especially for those who long to come. But feel discouraged because of sin, because of unworthiness, because of unbelief. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful words. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. Come hither, ye whose rising fears forbid you to exult and sing, whose moments pass in sighs and tears, feeling your guilt a dreadful sting. Is that how you came in here this morning? Feeling guilty? Feeling bankrupt? Feeling unworthy? You're just the one who he does say, come hither. He doesn't say to the self-righteous, come hither. Do you remember his own words to the Pharisees? I came not to call the righteous. And that word doesn't mean the righteous of God. It means the self-righteous. It means the proud Pharisee who doesn't believe he's a sinner. I didn't come to call him, he says, but sinners to repentance. And if you this morning feel to be that sinner, you're just the one who he says, come. Does Satan tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name? Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Come hither to the Saviour, come, vile as thou art in every view. Now here's the encouragement, friend. May you be helped to believe it, and not believe what Satan has said to you this morning. He said to you, there's no hope. He said to you, it's no use. You may as well give up. It's too late. Here is what the Saviour says through the hymn writer. In Jesus' house there still is room. Still, now. For needy sinners, such as you. Yet there is room. Take that word back to your God this morning. And ask him to draw you in there and to show you by sweet and precious faith that yet there is room in his home, in his family, in his house, in his flock, even for you. And you'll be amazed what he will do. Power and love in Christ combine, an able, willing Saviour too. Is he a sun on thee he'll shine? Is he thy God? He'll bring thee through. Come hither. You say, why come? Friend, you are not going to get any better by staying away. How else are you going to get rid of your load of sin? Where else can you go? Have you not tried every other route and found your sin remains? And so it will only remain except at the feet of Jesus. That's why you should come. You're not going to get any better. Never. And although Satan tells you that you should wait until you are better, if you do that, you will never come at all, and you will perish. Because we can never, in and of ourselves, make ourselves better or fit to be found in the presence of God. We have to come just as we are. And plead and trust to the mercy of the God who says, come. Come hither. And hear the words of the Lord your God. In other words, listen. That's what the word hear means, does it not? It means listen attentively to what the Lord will say. Don't shut your ears up. Either because you assume that he has nothing to say to you, or that you don't want to hear because you think you know it all. He has something to say to each and every one of us. And one day we will all hear his words, if not in this life, in the world to come, and on the day of judgment. But this is what marks out a believer from an unbeliever. Between one going to heaven and one going to hell, one hears the words of the Lord and one does not. Which category are you in this morning? Have you been made willing to listen to what the Lord your God will say to you? Because sometimes the words may not be easy or comfortable words, but there'll be words you'll need to hear nonetheless. Sometimes they will be comforting. But he will only say to you what you need him to hear. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now, sometimes it may be a word of direction. It was here in the immediate context to the children of Israel. Here they are, the end of the journey through the wilderness. At long last, they have come to the very borders of the promised land. And they are about to enter into their possession. Moses is dead. That type of the law. That was one of the reasons why they had to wait until Joshua took his place. The children of Israel are a type of the spiritual Israelite, the children of God. This Jordan is a type of the river of death. And the canyon which follows it, that of the heavenly canyon, heaven. Friends, you'll never get to heaven under the law, by following the law. That is not salvation. That will not make Jordan divide its banks for you. its waters for you. Only Christ can do that. And the Ark of the Covenant is a type of Christ. And let's consider that Ark just for a moment. It was made of shittim wood or acacia wood. And I only found out this the other week that it is known by the Jews as the incorruptible tree, because it is the only tree in the world which is not susceptible to any disease. That is a type. The wood is a type of the humanity of Christ. It was not susceptible to any sin. And he was the only one who was not susceptible to any sin. Then it was overlaid with gold. And of course, gold symbolizes the deity and kingliness of Christ. And you notice they had to follow it at a distance, 2,000 cubits. That's about half a mile. We have to show reverence and respect when we worship God. There should be no flippancy. There should be that realization of the greatness and the majesty of the presence of the one who we are now in. And the ark was to go before the children of Israel into Jordan. And it was to divide. And the children of Israel were to go through safely to the other side. So the Lord Jesus Christ leads his people one by one through the Jordan of death safely into heaven. And friends, you may be like the children of Israel. They had always known that they would have to one day pass over Jordan. Couldn't avoid it, couldn't get round it. It had to be crossed if they were to enter into Canaan that they loved. And they knew there was no bridge over that river. They had to go through it. And no doubt they hoped that when they did come, it would be at its lowest. It would be at its gentlest. It would be the minimum amount between the two banks. Maybe that's what you hope when you come to the Jordan of death. But instead of that, humanly speaking, they came at the worst possible time. It is overflowing its banks. It's at its deepest. The river flows at its strongest. By nature, utterly impossible for them to cross without being swept away to certain death. But you know, the Lord still commanded them to go forward. And as we read, it did not divide until the priests dipped their feet in the brim of the water. In the last possible moment, that's when the waters divided. Their faith was tested to its limit. And one must perhaps have wondered what the priests thought of as they approach the river? Were they confident, strong in faith, or was there perhaps some trembling as to what was about to happen? But they've still ventured. Is this a word of the Lord to one of you this morning? The Lord has given you a command, and you say, I will not go until I see how it is going to be, that it's going to be easy, that it's going to be successful, that the waters are going to divide. That's not the way of faith. Neither will the water divide for you until you do go. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. And it's only in going on that the waters will divide for you. And if he gives each, any one of us a command, we are to obey it. Whether the waters have divided or not. You say it's impossible. There's no such thing as an impossibility with God. Only with us. So therefore, take your impossibility back to God. And remind him of what he did here for the children of Israel. And ask him to do the same for you as you tread the path of obedience. Whatever that path may be. And in going forward in faith, then you'll prove, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. But be obedient now to what he has said. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord, your God. As your God, he has the right to command. And he has the right to dictate the timing of his commands and the circumstances of his your commands. Look at the circumstances here. It was designed to test the children of Israel, that they could more clearly say after this event to their children and grandchildren that the Lord did appear for them. Else they would never have got through. They wouldn't have said that had it been easy. It's the same for you. The Lord has brought you this way to test your faith and to bring you to that point where you can only go on as God appears for you, and then he's going to appear for you. That in time to come you can look back and testify and say, without a shadow of doubt, the Lord appeared for me there. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And the waters did divide, didn't they? Just as a matter of interest for you children, it mentions here the city Adam and the salt sea of the plain failing. Apparently that is a distance of 25 miles. That's how far Jordan divided, so that the people, this vast company, could go through. It wasn't just a narrow thing for them to cross, it was a wide expanse. You see what God can do. And the waters are still in his hand. I'll come even closer. The waters of your life are in his hand. No matter how deep. No matter how fast flowing. No matter how discouraging it may be. And sometimes the Lord brings us there to remind us that the waters of life are not in our hands. They're in his hands. And sometimes that's not very comforting to hear, is it? But it is necessary for the Lord to speak to us like that. Why? To bring us to that place of dependence, of humility. To bring us down, that he may be exalted high. You can't walk in your own strength in the way of faith. That's not God's way. It's not God's will. It's resting upon him. And we need that continual reminding of our need. We need that continual reminding that he can supply all our need, whatever that need may be. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And they did get safely through. Child of God, one day you too will get through the verge of Jordan. Your anxious fears will subside. Yes, sometimes the Jordan of death is like it was here, overflowing its banks. Sometimes it is very shallow. God's a sovereign. But you know, just as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was here, and was stayed here until every single one of that vast congregation that made up the children of Israel passed over. And that ark was a symbol of their protection in that hour of need. The waters wouldn't have divided without it, would they? So, child of God, the Lord your God will be with you, as he is with every child of God, in the Jordan of death, as he was here, protecting. And you too will pass through on solid ground. What is it? Christ is that solid ground. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The solid ground is the work of Christ in redemption. That's how you get to heaven, and only that way. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Here, that is his word. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other solid ground in death than through the life he lived and the death he died. If there was any other way to heaven, he would never have lived or died, because he would not have needed to. His life and death is a voice to us all that there is no other way to heaven but through him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, including you, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you ever heard that word? Or are you still trying to prove him wrong? You're still trying to prove that you're the exception? You'll never do it. No matter how hard you try. And perhaps you say, well, why? Why can't God accept my works? Because I am sincere in trying to earn his favor. I'm doing it with all my heart. Two reasons. And may God give you now the grace to hear and not kick, but to fall under his word. First of all, because as God, he has the right to choose the way of salvation. We don't. We have to fall under it. And no matter whether you fall under it or not, he will not change the way of salvation. there is no other way. He will not change his mind. But the second reason why your works will not earn you salvation, because the debt you owe to God is so great. That your works are not able even to begin to pay that debt. That's why. But God in mercy has sent his Son into the world to pay that debt on behalf of his people. Therefore seek that you may be found among those. That you may be able with Job to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. A redeemer is someone who has paid the debt of another. That's why the Lord Jesus is called the Redeemer, because he has paid the debt of sin that his people owed for them to his Father. And here is the word of the Lord to that coming sinner, burdened, who has heard that word and has fallen under it. And comes convinced and convicted. Here's the word for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What our works cannot do, Christ's work both could and did do to pay that debt which his people owe. Come hither and behold the Lamb of God. May God give you that faith to behold him this morning. And for all your hope, for acceptance and favour with God in heaven, to centre there in him. Come hither. And hear the words of the Lord, your God. And some of you have rejoiced, have you not, when you've heard that word of pardon? That word of peace. You have spiritually jumped for joy. That was the fruit, was it not? When you heard the word of the Lord, that message of life to your soul, that you were ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And you know, when God forgives, it is final. He does not forgive one day and then withdraw that forgiveness the next. Because that forgiveness he gives is a forgiveness for your whole life. Past, present, and future sins yet to come. It's a complete, total pardon. Because when he gave you that word of forgiveness, he knew what you were. He knew what you had been, and he knew what you would yet be in the years to come after he gave you your pardon. So, believer, don't let the devil this morning tell you you've sinned away your pardon. You can't do it. That's not how God works. He is faithful to his word. That means that when he says something, he always does it. And he never takes it back. He never withdraws his words. And he never fails to fulfill them. That is a blessing and it is a warning. He never fails to fulfill either his promises or his warnings. What side of God's faithfulness are you on this morning? He'll fulfill those threatenings and those condemnations for those who are strangers to him, just as much as he will fulfill every promise of his word which he gives to his people. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. What words have the Lord got for you this morning, I wonder? What are his thoughts toward you? Yeah. To some of you, they're thoughts of peace and goodwill and pardon and blessing. To one of you this morning, he says this: the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And just for a moment, don't too quickly pass over that word is and are. Present tense, it's what you need. A present tense refuge and a present tense help now in your time of trouble. And you are going to prove it now when you need it most. God is your refuge. That means he is your defense. He is your shelter. He is your help now when you need him most. And he will be the same in time to come. An eternal refuge means that you will never not have a refuge. He will always be your help. He will always be your defense. He will always be your shelter in your time of need. Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. But in closing, here is a word perhaps to one of you this morning. How shall you escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer is we won't. There is no escape for the careless sinner, for the indifferent sinner, for the hardened sinner, for the complacent sinner, the one who thinks he's quite all right. The word to you this morning is this: flee from the wrath to come. That word flee, it means run away, doesn't it? Say, where am I to flee to? To Christ. Because that's the only refuge. That's the only shelter. And if this morning you say, I can't, then go to God and ask him to give you that grace and that faith you need to flee to Christ, the sinner's refuge. And he will hear, and he will answer, and he will draw you in. He who have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Amen.
Sunday schools at Bethany this afternoon, and tomorrow evening Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach. And on Friday evening there will be a church meeting at 7 o'clock followed by a church members prayer meeting. And next Lord's Day, Mr. John Rosier is engaged to preach. And the Free Grace Evangelistic Association hold an open meeting at Swavesey Primary School on Saturday, the 23rd of March at 2:30. Let us close with hymn 767. 767. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. Hymn 767.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.